So thanks a lot for tuning in today, this somewhat rainy day in the spring before it really dries out and starts scorching us good for the summer. This is Recovery Radio, a show put together by volunteers from the Latah Recovery Center and about topics of interest to those volunteers and to people in the Recovery Center community at large. So today we want to talk a little bit about what occurred at the NAMI Spring 2017 Mental Health Conference. NAMI stands for the National Association for Mental Illness. There's also an organization called LAMI, which is the Latah Association for Mental Illness. On May 20th, two Saturdays ago, they held a conference, and over 120 people registered, including students, community representatives, care providers, and families that deal with mental illness. One of the partners in that with that conference is the Disability Action Center Northwest. That is an organization that serves people with disabilities in our community, and much in the same model as the Recovery Center, where people who have, quote, been there can really give quality help and advice to people who are struggling with various issues. And the reason why I especially want to note the Disability Action Center is that the Disability Action Center Northwest, or DACNW, has posted the slides from the keynote speaker, Rand Walker, Dr. Rand Walker. He is from the Educational and Psychological Services in Moscow, Idaho, and he presented a slideshow about ways to flourish in your life even if you deal with mental illness. We had a sad technical mix-up and were unable to record his talk. However, he showed his slides and said, hey, I'm not going to read these slides to you. You can read them yourselves while I'm talking. So the slides both didn't follow his talk word for word, and they're of interest very much in themselves. And the Disability Action Center has posted those slides online. So, boys and girls, you can do this at home. All you have to do is be able to find this website, okay? The place where I'm going to give you the long website, and if you're in front of a computer, you can type it in, and then I'm going to give you maybe a shorter cut version to how to find it. But the actual place where this information sits, this slideshow, is dacnw.org. That stands for Disability Action Center Northwest. dacnw.org/accessibility/NAMI-spring-2017-mental-health-conference. So DACNW, the Disability Action Center Northwest, .org/accessibility/NAMI-spring-2017-mental-health-conference with hyphens in between it. So just for a test, so that you don't have to like be a supreme model typist to get it all in, you can also find these slides by going to dacnw.org, and in the search box for the website, if you type in NAMI, N-A-M-I, you can look around, and they're going to pop up. So anyway, away we go. This is... I'm going to talk a little bit about the slides. I'm not going to repeat Dr. Walker's talk because I am not Dr. Walker, and I don't purport to have his education and experience. But I am going to highlight some of the points that he made. So if you go to dacnw.org and put NAMI, NAMI, in the search box, you'll see a link to Beyond Struggle, Flourishing with Mental Illness. And slide number 4 is a very simple slide without a whole lot of words on it. It says, the problem of pain. And this was a point that Dr. Walker made at the beginning of the talk and just sort of said, now hold this thought. And the problem that he seemed to be articulating about pain is that in our culture, we have the idea that happiness is defined as being pain-free. whereas really pain is a part of a normal human life. It's a message from our body and ourself to address something and do something. But if we respond to that pain with the cultural notion that pain is not supposed to happen, then a whole cascading series of difficulties can occur. And what he seems to suggest throughout his talk is that it's important to distinguish between pain, which is a normal part of human functioning, and misery, which is pain gone awry. And he made it a point to show us some statistics and to linger on them for a minute. The title of this slide, it's number 5, if you're following along, is The Prevalence of Mental Health and Mental Illness. And he wanted us as the audience to look at this, think hard, and go figure. So there's all of these categories, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, that have to do with varying degrees of mental health and mental illness. And they use words like languishing and flourishing and mentally healthy. So here we go. Mental illness and languishing. That's kind of the saddest state to be in. And that is 7% of the population. Mental illness and moderately mentally healthy is 15% of the population. Mental illness and flourishing is 1% of the population. And I think that Dr. Walker would probably, well, he implied in his talk that if it's possible for 1%, let's see if it's not really possible for a lot more people than that. Okay, languishing and no mental illness, that's 10% of the population. Moderate mental health, moderate, but no mental illness, is 51% of the population. And complete mental health, flourishing with no mental illness, is 17% of the population. So the point that he wanted to make about this is that this like shining category of complete mental health, flourishing with no mental illness, is 17% of the population. He used several analogies with the flu. If all but 17% of the population had the flu, it would be talked about in a way different way than we talk when we say all but 17% of the population suffers, deals with some kind of mental illness or moderate, not quite perfect mental health at various points in time.
It makes it seem like some of the pain and the misery could be somehow viewed differently if you think, well, I can, for example, commiserate with my 17%. Or my opposite, you know, not the 17%, but just say, you know, there's not that many that got it better than me, really. I mean, we only look around at our peers to measure how we do or don't behave. Too bad Donald Trump doesn't, but we'll move on from that. And so if we could gain comfort in knowing that most of us have something going on.
Exactly.
Right? And then, like, hearkening back to the pain, that pain stuff, do we expect not to be in pain ever, you know, expecting only happiness or joy? It kind of makes it nearly impossible and creates more pain, but more of the misery pain, which keeps you in that cycle.
So I think that when he looked at the slides and these numbers, again, mental illness and languishing, that vision of a mentally not healthy person who is really struggling supremely in their lives, that is 7% of the population. It's a small number. Complete mental health, flourishing with no mental illness, is 17% of the population, also a very small number. And the rest of us, well, everybody really, is continuously moving from these various states. I want to slip, he made this interesting point when he showed slide number 8. Slides 6 and 7, you know, 6 and 7 were like, what are we going to do? And arrived at a place called recovery. And he looks at recovery in this slide. There's two aspects of it, clinical and personal. And These are important, and as we go further through some of the things that he had to say, it's important to think in terms of both the clinical and the personal, because the talk and the points that he makes are largely about the personal. And if you think about that too hard, just in terms of the personal, you can twist your mind into a, well, get it together, you person, you know. And the clinical part is important, too.
It's a little bit about comparing the pain, the clinical, and then the misery, the personal.
Could be personal, yeah. Or that just because there's a personal aspect, it doesn't mean personally you have to do it all yourself.
Yes.
And the clinical part is also
gotcha.
Get help and support. And so the clinical part, symptomology, there's a big word, social functioning, relapse prevention, and risk management. All of those things are really hard to do.
Right.
So when you think about making your personal effort in trying to thrive in and close to mental illness, you can't forget these things that are kind of on the clinical and professional level, meaning people have worked, studied, trained hard to help people out.
Mm-hmm.
On the personal level, the establishment of a fulfilling, meaningful life and a positive sense of identity. That's your job. You know, that's all of our job. That's the whole
deal. That's what you got to do today and tomorrow.
Uh-huh. And then down further in the slide is one: living day to day without a false sense of security or sense of inviolability. And Dr. Walker made a stop right there with false sense of security. And he talked about people who have and don't have their false sense of security.
Mm.
And the don't have your false sense of security folks, they get the yet. In other words, that sense of eternal security
mm-hmm.
is always false.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've suffered a mental illness, or you deal with a mental mm-hmm. illness, or there's one close to you, you've glimpsed how far, how fast, and how deep and scary a fall can be.
Mm-hmm.
And living day to day without the false sense of security that nobody really falls down like mm-hmm. that is, it's a lot of personal work, and a lot of times you need clinical help to do it. Let's just stop right there, take a little musical break, and I thought this was a song that reflected the fact that which just kind of reflects those numbers and those statistics about the continuum that we all live on that has to do with mental health. Simon and Garfunkel. We've all gone to look for America. I think we really have. So you're listening to Recovery Radio. I'm Nancy in the studio here with Erica today. And we're looking at some of the slides that Dr. Rand Walker used in his keynote address at the NAMI Spring Conference on May 20th here in Moscow. You can follow these slides along with us by going to the website of the Disability Action Center Northwest, dacnw.org, and putting NAMI for National Association for Mental Illness in the search box, and they will come up. So we're looking at slide number 9 here that says successful recovery, because that's the place that we're all like kind of trying to get to. Although successful recovery, I wouldn't say is a destination. It's a sense of feeling that you are successful in your recovery process. Anyway, it usually takes a team of people who care about the person suffering. Thus, the focus is on the person and not the disease or disorder. The operant word there is team. which is another way of saying help. another way of looking at what we were saying with the word clinical before. You can't do this stuff alone.
You cannot.
So the team would consist of family, a treatment team, and organizations and the community. Family being broadly defined as from acquaintances to people that care about you. A way to find a treatment team is to contact the recovery center. Yeah. That's a really straightforward way to do it. It is like going to the Yellow Pages and looking up counselors or psychologists when you're already like fragile and vulnerable. Is like, but if you go to the recovery center, some nice person will sit down with you and help you like sort it out and figure out who you might want to call. And organizations and community, the third part of the team, that's like the Recovery Center and the Disability Action Center and other community organizations as well.
And the radio show.
And the radio show and KRFP in general.
Yes.
So the team is a part of successful recovery. Also, knowledge. The contribution that other members of your team that can make to help you understand things is just mind-bogglingly enormous. And it requires a commitment to that goal of living a full life. And who doesn't want to have that? It's what we all deserve, and it's what we're all capable of. So my notes here say, skip to slide number 13. Yes. Okay, what Dr. Walker then did in his talk was he went through many different types of mental health challenges, and he talked about different ways to address them. And I'm going to name the mental health challenges that he talked about, but I'm not going to talk about addressing them specifically because I am not Dr. Walker. I just listened to his talk. But the things that he is talking about in terms of his Beyond Struggle talk are trauma, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety disorders, and addiction, and everything in between. So if you were to go to Disability Action Center Northwest and type in NAMI and look at these slides, you could see the information on each one of these slides. And one of the things that you would see, like for each one, the first item is psychoeducation, which was a new word for me. By seeing it on all of the slides, I came to realize that psychoeducation is such an important thing because it's the whole bailiwick of understanding the constantly shifting many, many things to take into consideration and evaluate and think through with your tired, hurting mind. And it's difficult to achieve that kind of understanding. That's the importance of the team. But those thoughts that can come to you through psychoeducation, learning about yourself and your disorder, are indispensable. And the ultimate goal, says Dr. Rand Walker, is to get to the point where the volume of your life is much louder than the volume of your pain. In other words, to live fully with mental illness in the background. And he talked a lot about how that's not simple, but that it is possible. Again, psychoeducation, which is, I don't know, it's the work of experience, you and your whole team, to find a way to do that. Another way of looking at that sort of happiness continuum that we talked about in the statistics part is this other model that he said it's called the PERMA, P-E-R-M-A model of like life. And so each of those letters stands for something. P is for pleasant. The pleasant life consists of having as much positive emotion as possible and learning the skills to prolong and intensify pleasures. P-E, PERMA, E is the engaged life, which consists in knowing your character strengths and recrafting your work, love, friendship, play, and parenting to use those strengths as much as possible. That's the engaged life. Engagement beyond just like the pleasant life, which is pleasant. Engagement brings a little more trouble and difficulty, maybe. Anyway, the meaningful life, that's the M in PERMA, consists of using your character strengths to belong to and serve something that you believe is larger than yourself. And you can see that underneath this, the connection that it had to the rest of the talk is, how do you get your life to be louder than your pain? And it's like kind of looking at your life in this way. P-E-R-M-A, the achieving life, which is a life dedicated to achieving for the sake of achievement. And all of those are ways to live. Everyone is as legitimate as the other. And at different times, we kind of move from one to the other. But the statistics piece of this say that the happiest people, 3%, just in case you're feeling 3%. Like it's everybody, live a meaningful life. You know, that kind of integrated life, what was the words, which consists in using your character strengths to belong to and serve something that you believe is larger than just yourself. 3%, very few of people get there. And the pleasant life, which consists in having as much positive emotion as possible and learning the skills to prolong and intensify pleasures, which is the pain-free life.
The pain-free life
is the lowest on the happiness scale. So it's an interesting thing. If you're striving to only be pain-free,
it creates more pain. So the pain-free life is on the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if you had only joy, it would become meaningless. Is this what we're thinking? So somehow this life, we need to have the pain to create the up. The up makes us see the down. The down helps us see the up. And that's maybe looking out beyond and finding our peers and recognizing we all got something going on.
Yeah. Another thing about pain, too, is that it helps us, it helps gives texture. You know, if you give up texture, you give up a lot.
Right.
But pain is a message.
Yeah.
That was a point that he made, that pain is a message. Pain informs you. If you're one of those 17% of people that are riding the wave right now in the right spot, pain, even emotional pain, is a message that maybe you want to change your emotional life a little bit. But when the pain is not dealt with and just goes into the pain pile and takes you over to the misery space, then any particular incidence of pain might be a message, but like, how can you get a message amidst the screaming?
Right. You can't hear.
So that, again, the treatment team, the helpers, the organizations, the clinical people, the people that can sort of help you in your psychoeducation.
So how does he recommend that we step out and say, you know, all I can hear is my screaming pain. Where is my motivation? Yes, no pain. But when you're in there, can you hear any motivation? Where do I step first? Does he, you know, go like this?
I think he went there a little bit in the slides where he talked about different disorders. But I think he was also clear in the point that every single person is different. And that's why even though there's all these self-help books on the market, You can't quite find the one where you could find the 10 steps to do
exactly.
the 10 things you need to do exactly. to hear the message inside the screaming. So the answer to your question mm-hmm. is call the Recovery Center.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Because like, how do I find the message that the pain is giving me
right.
inside of all of the screaming that all
right.
of the pain has been doing?
Right. Doesn't matter if it's the bipolar or the
yeah,
anxiety or
yeah.
the schizophrenia, there's pain. And any one of us has
uh-huh.
to find a path out of the pain somehow.
And it's when
the first step.
I think it's get help.
Yeah, get help.
That because it's when you're in that kind of pain,
mm-hmm.
You can't you don't have all your faculties.
No.
And so that
someone to help you.
So that you need somebody to hold part of the pain or
yes.
part of you so
yes.
that you can get some more faculties
yes.
to look into what's happening. You know,
yeah.
It's like, I guess I'm like carrying on about this. Man, you cannot do this yourself.
Well,
you know?
I mean,
yeah.
it's pretty established.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
if you
uh-huh.
continue, I know many humans, and it's neither,
mm-hmm.
No judgment, but I know that the more they become isolated and lonely, the worse they feel.
Yeah.
And there's this, we all hear this, they just spiral down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right?
Uh-huh.
And if just anybody, you know, anybody could give you any sense of something, the spiral stops for a moment.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little bit.
I think it goes back to the personal part. I mean, like, after I give a little speech that says, because you got to get help.
Yeah, right.
Also, you got to do all the work. Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like you got to get help doing this work that only you can do.
Mm.
And that was the commitment part.
Right.
And, it's so hard and it is so rewarding. And if it's going to be that hard, might as well go down the rewarding road.
Okay. I got two ways to go, hard or rewarding. Which one should I choose?
Oh, I don't know. Let's hear a song. So to wind up, I want to go to the slide that I think Dr. Walker liked the most, because he said, these are my very own patented, the top 10 best ways to be miserable.
Perfect.
I guess if we go all the way back to like his very first slide, which said the problem of pain. And then the distinction between pain and misery. And maybe like what you said, what do you do to get yourself out of this pain place?
Right.
And maybe with the top 10 best ways to be miserable, he's saying, I can't tell anybody
right.
what exactly right. to do, but I can tell you what not to do.
Exactly.
And so here we go. Should we trade them off?
Okay.
Who's going to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
Number one, think negatively.
Do you think you can say that right?
Negatively.
I'm teasing you.
Think negatively. make sure you accurately predict as many bad things as you can.
All
I
right.
had no idea that would go that badly, or I might have predicted.
Number two, isolate yourself from family and friends.
Number three, commit to the things that make you feel bad.
Number four, find a way to make the same mistakes over and over again.
Number five, be sedentary. Watch lots of television. Curl up in a ball until you feel better. Be passive if possible.
Number six. Oh, this is one of my strengths.
Oh, yeah.
Look for ways to make things more complicated.
That's nice. Oh, are we? Number seven, always look for ways to avoid or escape discomfort. Oh, are we back to pain?
Back to the problem of pain, yeah. Number eight, keep your focus on what you don't want to happen.
Oh, that one's painful. Number nine, do just what comes easily. Play it safe. Don't take any chances. Live life in a way that nothing bad is possible. No exploration. Definitely wait until you are ready.
And number 10, constantly seek out ways to feel differently than the way you are feeling, especially looking for rescuers.
Wow, that's an interesting one, yeah. Right?
I don't.
It's almost like, is that the? It seems like to seek out ways to feel differently would be a way to be not miserable. Yet it's sort of that setting up the expectation of, I'm not sure, pain versus misery.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I think if you're constantly seeking out ways to feel differently, you're also constantly telling yourself right. You're feeling wrong.
Right. Right. And you're spinning in that wrong state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. you can want to feel different. That's interesting. I think that's, again, you know, I think that's something to work out with your team. Yeah. Like, all of these things are paradoxes. Like,
right.
if you want to feel differently, the things that you do to feel differently are not minute by minute.
Right.
And
right.
to figure out what those things should be for you without checking in every minute to see if they're working.
Right.
That's the team thing.
Right.
Again.
And so team versus rescuers, I'm also looking at that at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So looking, constantly seeking out ways to feel differently and having rescuers. So mm-hmm. what's the difference between a rescuer and a team?
I would like to give you my flu.
Oh, yes, indeed.
If I give you my flu, then I won't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. Will you take my, you know,
yeah.
it's like taking yep. it on, I think,
yep.
is the rescuer yep. thing. Number 5, be sedentary, watch lots of television, curl up in a ball until you feel better, and be passive if possible. I don't watch television, but I read novels.
Mm-hmm.
And number 5 is the way that I deal with physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a day when I'm really having trouble being upright,
mm-hmm.
I embrace being sedentary. I don't curl up in a ball. I read a book often. I wait for it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
That made me worry.
Hmm. Right.
I don't know.
It's
yeah.
apparently uh-huh. you're resting yourself because you're uh-huh. in pain and you just uh-huh. need, you're still there with the pain.
Uh-huh.
You're not really avoiding it, you're just being with it,
uh-huh.
right? So it's thoughtful. I mean, it sends out thoughts, you know. Mm-hmm. Number 4, you know, find ways to make the same mistakes over and over again. That just comes naturally, but none of the way, you know, maybe I'm looking for those ways without mm-hmm. even realizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's comforting to have your own mistakes. Oh, those mm-hmm. are mine. I know just what happens then.
yeah. Commit to the things that make you feel bad. Now, that's an interesting thing because if you're doing that, I bet you don't know you're doing it.
No.
I mean, like, I'm trying to think of times when I have done that. Oh, man, I commit to my misery a lot.
Right.
I,
so is yeah. it feel bad right now or in the end, you're like mm-hmm. a while from now, you're going to feel bad, right? But, yeah, what if we thought mm-hmm. deeply about it, we could probably mm-hmm. figure something out. Mm-hmm.
Oh, number two is a struggle for me.
Mm.
Isolate yourself from family and friends.
Yeah.
I consider myself a reclusive
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I like to be alone.
Yeah.
Last week I wrote a sentence that disturbed me.
Let's hear it.
And the sentence was, reclusivity is a technique for dealing with that world of triggers out there. But I don't know. I don't think I have to move to town just to be mentally healthy.
No, you do not. No.
Okay. Do we have anything more to say about the top 10 ways to be miserable?
No. Well, mm-hmm. one thing is I was really surprised. That's my favorite slide to look at
mm-hmm.
so far. And it's the one that got me thinking the most, and it's where I identified with most of what was up there on that little slide. Well, I'm like, oh, that I can sit behind, I can step away from whatever, schizophrenia, mm-hmm. I can step away from, oh, I need a team. These, mm-hmm. some of these I can't step away from.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the word that he used a lot in the talk was engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. And that engagement with life
yeah.
and your life
yeah.
is the thing that can be nurtured and that can grow
mm-hmm.
so that these 10 things on the top 10 best ways to be miserable don't become your MO.
Yep.
But like waiting for it to be over, it is just the
pretty passive.
Yeah, it's the hardest. You want it to be over, and you can do all those good things for yourself when you just feel a little bit better. I'm too stressed out to meditate, and I'm too stiff to do yoga.
I was just going to say, you know, I'm too stiff to do yoga. You don't know how many times. If I had a penny for each day, I wouldn't have to be a yoga teacher anymore.
Okay, so with the caveat, we got another bad boyfriend song here.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And it's not about surviving the boyfriend. It's about surviving what comes your way in your life.
And I learned how to get along. So now you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your
face. Well, thank you, Gloria Gaynor. Yeah, survive. Thrive, actually, is the word that Dr. Rand Walker used in his talk. We're hoping that maybe we can get Dr. Walker on the show to come and react to our reaction to his talk. That would be just great. Dr. Rand Walker gave the keynote address at the NAMI, North National Association for Mental Illness, Spring Conference on Mental Health on May 20th. And you can see the slides that we talked about from his talk by going to the Disability Action Center Northwest website. If you go to their website, dacw.org, and in their search box, just put NAMI for National Association of Mental Illness, the link to the slides will come up. Or you can go to dacnw.org/accessibility/NAMI Spring 2017 Mental Health Conference, with all those words having hyphens in between them. Thank you very much for listening to Recovery Radio today. Recovery Radio is a project of the Latah Recovery Center, put together by volunteers. We need on-air and off-air helpers for this show, so contact the Recovery Center, latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. If you would like to help out on the show, or if you have an idea about topics that we should cover, or if you just want to offer a comment. Also, there is a podcast of this show. If you want to recommend for somebody else to listen to this one or back issues of it, you can go to the Latah Recovery Center website and find links to those. That's Latah Recovery Center, all one word, .org. Also at the Recovery Center, you can find a calendar of numerous support groups and activities. Some of those support groups are closed. Some of those support groups are confidential. And most of the classes and activities are free and open to everyone. Any issues at all going on in your life? The volunteers that are at the front desk at the Latah Recovery Center are trained and proud to be able to help you look for the resources that you need to deal with a situation that's making you feel vulnerable. So don't hesitate to contact the Recovery Center, 208-883-1045. It's located on Main Street between Mikey's and the One World Cafe. And thanks a lot for listening to KRFE this afternoon and for listening to Recovery Radio.